Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. I'm playing upbeat music because this is a story of hope. Our next guest is a former addict who wants to help people. Chris Reed in studio with us. Thanks for coming in, man.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
When Jane told me your story, I'm like, oh my God, this is just a crazy story. And look where you are now. This all started when you were 14, is that right?
Yeah, it started, my alcohol and drug use started probably between my eighth grade summer freshman year.
I have an eighth grader. That's why it probably hit home with me, because you were an athlete, right? And you broke your leg. Is that how it started?
Well, you know, I started drinking and smoking pot at a young age. I think like a lot of kids in early high school start doing and start experimenting with. And that started to progress, and we experimented with different drugs, and we had different prescriptions that we were abusing, whether it was Adderall or Xanax or any of those other prescription pills that you get from a doctor.
Did you get those from somebody's parents? Where did that happen?
There's so many
cabinets.
Yeah, medicine cabinets is a really really easy way to get a hold of. But a lot of kids are prescribed these things, and kids don't, if they're not monitored appropriately. Kids are at least when we were growing up, you just. You had free reign to some of those.
You're right.
And you could pass them out.
Right, and it wasn't really, on the radar, no. These kids that are taking drugs out of the parents' cabinets. But so you were experimenting with all of these drugs as an athlete.
Yep, and it changed for me when, I had my first injury. I broke my leg playing hockey, and what happened was that was the first time I had my own prescription of opioids. We had abused them like before that and experimented here and there. But when I had my first prescription, that's when I started to abuse them, right? I started to take 4, 5, 6 in a day. And,
4 or 5 or 6 in a day. Opioids we're talking about here.
Yeah. And then I started... losing my prescription and having my parents go back to the doctor.
How did you get another refill?
Manipulation of the system is surprisingly easy.
Give me your background. Were your parents just oblivious of all this?
They weren't. I think that I had gotten in trouble here and there for underage drinking and smoking pot. So, they were strict on me. It just, it's not something, we're talking, this is 2007, 2008. The opioid epidemic wasn't as apparent
right, exactly.
As it is now.
Yeah.
And, you're getting these pills from a doctor, and it's not something that you immediately think, if he starts taking these, he's going to become... dependent.
We didn't know at the time.
And I would have to think that your parents, they believe you, right? You're in pain. They're doing what they think they're supposed to do, mm-hmm. is give you the pain meds that you're asking for, mm-hmm. without thinking that they're contributing to you becoming addicted to those pain meds.
Yeah, and for me it was a little different. I felt as a teenager, it was probably from the first time I drank or the first time I smoked. Smoked pot. It was, for me, it felt like I had found a solution to the problems that I was going through, mm-hmm. at that time, whatever it was. And, I made this decision that I was going to do this as often as I possibly could. And, fast forward to when the opioids came into the picture, it was that same type of feeling, right? Like this is a solution to my problems, just on a more intense scale, I guess,
right.
You could say. And
you wanted to find that high. You just wanted to feel that way all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. You told me on the phone, you said, well, and then I got the opioids and I kind of liked how it felt.
Yeah, I did. It's a euphoric feeling. I don't, anybody who's, had an injury or taken those, some people hate it, right? But there's a lot of people who like it. And it does produce a very euphoric feeling, and it's easy to want to chase.
I hosted a roundtable, an opioid roundtable in DuPage County, the heroin highways, mm-hmm. out there. And I heard a stat, and it just blew me away. For if a person takes an opioid for more than 7 days, 2 out of 10 of those people are going to become addicted.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's after true. 7 days, 2 out of 10 become addicted to it. So once their prescription runs out, that's when you start finding the hard stuff. Oh, my God. I got
2 out of 10 days? 2 out of 10 people.
2 out of 10 people.
After 7 days.
1 week, 2 of those people become addicted.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So you run out of the prescriptions and you start looking for the hard stuff, or what happens?
You know, I that was the first time. So after I was taking those the prescription pills, that was the first time that I had become like physically dependent. So I started to go through withdrawals. Mm. And after I ran out of that prescription, I didn't really have any other way to getting, you know, more prescription pills.
What happens when you go through withdrawals? Are you sweating like on TV? How does that work?
It's a pretty awful experience, but I guess the worst flu that you've ever had, times that by 10, ugh. And then, you know, just add, you know, your bones ache. I don't, it's just such a
weird... I've heard that.
Everything
people say
hurts.
That before. Didn't your parents see that you were going through withdrawals?
Well, yeah, so, and that's what... I outed myself to them, and that was the way they found out, because I was so miserable in withdrawal. You know, I told them, I said, hey, listen, I've been abusing these. I've been taking these painkillers too much, and I'm going through withdrawal.
First reaction? What did they say?
Well, they were certainly upset. It wasn't... they just wanted to know why. You know, it didn't make sense to them. So... I begged them to take me to the ER and the emergency room.
Because you wanted more pills.
Well, I just wanted to not be sick at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, the emergency room was like, well, you know, there's really not much we can do for you other than give you more opioids. So, and we're not going to do that.
Right. Because now we know you're addicted.
Yeah. Okay. So, so that was a terrible experience. I kind of had to ride that out. And, in my head, I was like, I'm never going to put myself through that again. That was miserable.
Yes.
And I had only been, you know, using these painkillers for like a couple of months. It wasn't a really long period of time.
Jeez, it happened so quick.
And so I make this vow to myself, I'm not going to do it anymore. And what happens is, you know, maybe a month goes by and, you know, one of my friends has some and he asked me if I want some. And of course, my answer is yes, we'd been drinking. And that started it right up again. And that went on and on and on, and then it came to a point where I couldn't get any prescription painkillers from anybody, and I just knew ultimately, being exposed to this at this point, that heroin was really the same thing. You know, when you get from a doctor, when you get from, you know, the west side of Chicago, and that was the start of it for me. So I was either, I had become physically dependent again on the opioids, and I couldn't get any more, and I just was place where I had to make a decision. It was either be sick again or just start doing heroin. You know, so the choice became pretty simple. It was snort a bag of heroin.
I mean, did you in your head say, I'm going to go out and find heroin, or did somebody else bring it to you and say, here, try this?
No, I just thought, okay. You start abusing those types of drugs and you just know at a certain point, you know, it just becomes the people you're associating yourself with. Right. You just end up knowing,
right?
That heroin's going to do the same thing.
So when did it all come to a head?
How old are you now, too?
So this was my like senior year in high school.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding. This all happened in high school.
Yeah. I mean, right towards the tail end of high school, I started not going to class at all. You know, I didn't technically graduate. You know, I had to take classes after that in order to get, you know, my actual degree. And, you know, we had a block schedule and so there was 4 blocks in a day of school where I went to high school, and I think I missed 162 blocks of school my senior year, which was more than half of the year.
Because you were out doing drugs.
That was my number one priority. Yeah.
Wow.
So, tell me your rock bottom point where you finally got help.
So, you know, I my parents had to draw a line in the sand. So when I turned 18, you know, they kicked me out of the house because there was nothing that they, that, you know, they couldn't just watch me in this destructive behavior, which was the best thing they ever did for me. So I went the next almost a year just, you know, kind of couch surfing, going part-time job to part-time job and just kind of conning, manipulating whatever
living situation.
You'll
do anything to get drugs,
right? Because it's your number one priority.
And, you know, I at this point, I'm using heroin intravenously, and I'm just doing it every day. It's got ultimate control over my life. And, you know, I'll fast forward. There's obviously a ton of consequences and terrible things that go into that year. But in September 2009, I overdosed for the first time. And I just remember, you know, getting dropped off at this immediate care facility in Algonquin. And what had happened was I remember waking up like on the pavement. They didn't bring me inside. They gave me naloxone, which was the opiate reversal drug. And I hadn't, if you ever got the wind knocked out of you, like that's what, I hadn't been breathing for a period of time. So I was like trying to catch my breath. The naloxone puts you into instant withdrawal, right? So it was just terrible, terrible experience. And for me, you know, I just remember kind of going back into the ambulance thinking, like, that's it. Like, I'm done. Single scariest moment of my life. Never going to do that again.
How many more times?
That week,
you know, I got out of the hospital, and then within 12 hours later, I was using again.
Jeez.
And right after that, I overdosed 2 days later, right? So that was my second time, and almost identical experience. And then right after that, I intentionally overdosed, and it was a form of suicide attempt in a way. And not, you know, I can get into that as much as you want, but for me in that point in my life, it wasn't because I wanted to die necessarily. It wasn't the case at all. It was just I had been using drugs, and it was so much a solution to my life that I couldn't comprehend living sober.
Well, you didn't know how to get out of it. You didn't know what to do.
And then at the same time, I could not comprehend living life with drugs anymore. So it was like, couldn't go one way or the other.
We have to take a break. But
there's a dramatic turn.
There is a huge turn, and you are now helping people, which we're going to get to next. People are thinking, okay, this is a story of hope. Wow, this is a depressing story.
Yeah.
But you are clean and sober today.
For 10 years?
Yeah, September 2009. Well, working on 10.
Yeah, September will be 10. But this is where we turn the corner when we come back.
Yes.
We're going to find out what you're doing to help and how other people can help.
Absolutely. Yes. It's Pete and Jane on 720 WGN. It's Pete and Jane on 720 WGN. In studio with us is Chris Reed, who came in studio and was telling his story about addiction, and we heard all about how you were addicted to opioids, and you finally went to rehab.
He didn't go to rehab.
Oh, I'm sorry. You did not go to rehab.
He hit rock bottom.
You hit rock bottom.
Overdosed 3 times.
Yeah, so I'll kind of fast forward through some of that, but I had been through rehab, right, and I knew ultimately what I needed to do, and I was fortunate enough to have a guy in my life who had stayed in contact with me, and he had he had been sober for a long time, and it was always just like, you know, when you're ready, you know,
so you had
I'll help you out.
A sober coach, basically. Yeah.
And so I started going to 12-step meetings, and there was people who felt went through all the same things that I had went through, and were basically just like living sober and living great lives. And I was so miserable at that point that I was just so willing to do whatever that they asked me to do.
Yeah.
So I worked working through a 12-step program, and living, you know, the principles and really trying to grasp onto that. Like,
you figured
it
out.
A life raft, you know, and that did it for me. So, you know, before I know it, I got a job and things are going pretty good, and my relationship with my family is coming back, and everything just, it progressed. And I started a construction company when I was, 19 at this point, and just continued to do the work, and I continued to stay engaged in the 12-step program and going to meetings and helping other people, and just never turned back.
You're really one of the lucky ones, because, you know, kids will talk about drugs or something like that, and I'll say, you do drugs, you die. Because I've had too many people around me that have overdosed, or they do drugs, people I've known my whole life, and they die. So you're really lucky to get out of it.
Yeah. And that very, I think about that pretty frequently, actually, there were plenty of opportunities for me to have not be sitting telling this story today. So,
well, tell people why you're here. You are helping people. What do you want to open?
So, really exciting for me. I've been working on, something for the past couple of years. I'm actually opening a treatment center. in Crystal Lake, and that's really exciting for me. It'll be a partial hospitalization program, outpatient program called Northern Illinois Recovery Center, and
good
hopefully
for you,
that will be able to start seeing people. We're going through the licensure process right now, and I think that we'll be in a position to start serving people around June, and that's really exciting. That, in addition to a lot of the things that we have going on at our nonprofit, which is something I've been involved in for the past 9 years.
And what
years.
Is that?
So the organization, me and some of the guys that I got and girls I got sober with, we started an organization called New Directions Addiction Recovery Services. And that that started in 2011.
2 years after you hit rock bottom.
And yes, and it was, we kind of fell backwards into it, and really my construction company had leased this warehouse in Crystal Lake, and we had anyway, long story short, we ended up having this warehouse that was available for people in recovery, and people just started hanging out there, and it was 5, 10, 15, 20, and then it was like 50 people on the weekends, and then we were throwing parties, and then 100 people show up, and then 150 people
but
show
all
up.
Sober.
All sober people, and it was just, it turned into what's called now, what we call now is called the Other Side, and it's a sober bar, and it it was like kind of our first program, and that's the foundation of what everything, what started everything. But today, I mean, it's, you know, we're open, you know, pretty much 7 days a week, and there's support groups that happen there, you know, family, you know, 12-step meetings. We're open on the weekends. People go there, hang out, watch the Blackhawks
God,
game.
Good for you.
Whatever. How many people do you service there? I wouldn't call it service. People show up.
Throughout the week, I mean, probably like 300 or 400 people, like, come through there throughout the week.
Yeah. And now you're working on the New Directions
retreat. So one of the main issues is that people don't have access to treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time of opening this treatment center, we're also, through our nonprofit, we're also trying to open this retreat program, which is a non-clinical type of environment, more of a peer supportive environment where somebody can, regardless of what, if they have insurance or not, or what their financial means are, that they can, after they've detoxed, right, they could go to this this program, which would be a 90-120 day program, and just focus on the important things on building a foundation to live in long-term
sure.
recovery. So finding gainful employment, right, integrating socially,
right getting back into society,
You know, just engaging in the community in general, volunteering, you know, participating, whether that's spiritually, whatever, and just providing a safe and structured environment for people to go through in that first 3 to 4 months, so that by the end of everything, they feel like they're set up for success,
right?
To live in recovery.
And people can help support that through the foundation?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways to do that. Probably the easiest way to help, we're starting this capital campaign right now. We've raised almost $500,000 towards this.
Wow.
Do you see your life's calling here? I mean, what a story. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we haven't even gotten to some of the other things. I mean, we've got 3 sober living houses on top of this.
You need to write a book. You know that, right? I hope you're taking notes.
Yeah. I've
Seriously.
Been taking notes throughout the whole process.
You need to go on a speaking tour, too.
Where can people donate, first of all?
Let's get you some money.
Back there is like, don't, you guys need to stop.
Let's get you some money. So where can people donate if they want to help?
Easiest way, find us on Facebook, New Directions Addiction Recovery Services.
Right? New Directions Addiction Discovery Services.
Recovery
Services.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you.
And just go on our Facebook page. There's a GoFundMe on that page. You know, click the link. You can read about the retreat, what we're trying to do with that. And we need to raise another $100,000, so hopefully we'll get there.
And you're working closely with the McHenry County State's Attorney, who obviously he's not here today because of...
The sheriff who was shot the other day. Just horrible news.
But you're working closely with the McHenry County folks
We're
to
so
make this
fortunate
happen.
In McHenry County. We have a coalition that's made up of like every pillar in the community, mm-hmm. whether that's healthcare, law enforcement, the judicial system, just community agencies, treatment providers, local government, like all who come together. And we have a mental health board that provides resources, and we're very fortunate in McHenry County to try and work together. But yeah, the state's attorney's office has been instrumental in helping me, fundraise and make connections and try and get this thing so we can serve some people. And
give the Facebook again so people can donate.
New Directions Addiction Recovery Services.
And the other thing, too, is we're getting a lot of text messages about people that have family members and friends who have also been addicted or are addicted, still in this journey. You'll talk to people?
I will absolutely talk to people. I talk in schools. I talk all the time, and I always give out my phone number, you know, because somebody gave their phone number to me, and it saved my life. So my personal number is 847-307-1143.
I'm going to text you, by the way.
Oh, no.
I'm going to text you.
847-307-1143.
Correct. Yeah.
Love it.
And you know, and if I don't answer, I'll call you back. Just leave me a message, and I'd be happy to, whether it's a friend, family member, whatever's going on, I can at least try and, you know, provide some insight into whatever you're...
Chris Reed, thank you for coming
in,
man.
Thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for helping those. Thank you.
You're doing God's work. You really are. You know that. Wow.
Appreciate it. Keep in touch.
News is coming up next at 720 WGN.